ABC Radio Australia.
One of Solomon Islands' leading designers will be on a mission to elevate the voices of Melanesians in the fight against climate change after being selected for an American fellowship program. Millicent Barty joins us now on the program. Good morning to you, Millicent.
Hey, good fellow morning, Priyanka.
Good fellow morning, and congratulations. I believe it's the Emerson Collective. That's the name of this fellowship that you're joining. Tell us a bit about it.
Oh, thank you so much. So the Emerson Collective Fellowship, it's a by invitation only fellowship, and I believe this is the first time they've opened up the program to international individuals. I'm just incredibly stoked to be selected as one of the climate pivoters. So normally they do it by theme. So the theme for this year is climate-related projects. And basically the program supports each individual throughout the year with their bold new projects and sort of help them pivot into the climate space. So all of us, there's 14 of us. We've never worked in the climate space before, but we're pivoting our work So it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, that does sound so exciting because you're, Millicent, you're mainly a designer and you've done lots of work in Solomon Islands up until now. What is this big project that involves you pivoting to climate change?
So for me, I'm finally doing a long-standing dream of mine. So generally just through my work and my own personal journey, I've been collecting and archiving our custom stories, so our traditional oral histories. So in my normal work, I leverage our custom storytelling practices in order to translate complex sort of information or systems so our people can understand and connect with it better. So finally, I'm scaling this to support communities so that they too can start protecting and preserving their traditional knowledges. And I'm starting a new organization. It's called Custom Keepers. So it's been long time in the pipeline for me, so it's finally happening and I'm super excited.
I know, and as you mentioned, Millie, this is the first time the Emerson Collective has opened up their fellowship internationally, and you've one of just a dozen or so that have been selected. What was it like when you got that call? What was that whole process like? How did you feel?
Unbelievable, actually. I think I was just really shocked. I guess because being from our corner of the world, our very small and remote corner, it's not very often we get a lot of these opportunities. Just to be selected, the application process was rigorous. Mm. And the interview, I was shaking all throughout the interview. So by the end of the interview, I was like, oh, I don't think I got it. Just to have received the email that I've been selected as a climate pivoter, it really places so much, motivation, but also just a lot of power to know that, someone believes in my vision for Custom Keepers. They see the value in it. And I'm truly thankful to, the Emerson Collective for this.
And as you mentioned, Custom Keepers, that's your project, collecting these stories, collecting indigenous wisdom about the environment. Why is that important to you? What made you come up with this idea?
For a few reasons. So I think on a personal level, I've been collecting custom stories since I was a child. I always say, my first teachers in life were, my two grandmothers and my elders in the village. For me, our custom knowledges present a way in which I can answer you know, the five great questions of life, which philosophers such as, you know, Socrates, Plato, and our elders call, you know, who am I? Where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? And what good do I bring to society? And for me, Custom Stories has helped me sort of navigate all of that and find my own answers. And so I think it's important that, you know, in this day and age, a lot of our young people are missing out on this, you know, beautiful sort of channel to learn about themselves, to sort of help us own our own narratives and, you know, build our self-determination based on who we are. And Custom Stories, a lot of our custom knowledge is basically helping us to understand our connections and bond with the environment through the eyes of our ancestors. So it's things like, you know, if you take a fruit from a tree, you must make sure you leave enough for the bird and her family. Or if you disturb the coral reef, you must, you know, replace it with something from land so that, you know, you keep it intact. So it teaches you the fundamental values in life, I believe. And for me, that's the personal sort of reason why it's important to collect our indigenous wisdoms.
Is there a fear that they might be, is there a fear that that might be lost, Millicent? Those custom stories might not be as told as much as they used to?
Yeah, so definitely the practice of passing down the knowledge through oral traditions has been lost. Yeah, young people are sort of not getting those opportunities anymore, and the intergenerational gap is widening. However, I don't believe we can lose Indigenous knowledge or wisdom. I feel the only thing we've lost is the way to connect with it. That's where I'm at. But yeah, there is the sort of narrative around that, you know, it is a depleting cultural practice. And, you know, with the climate crisis, especially if we lose our physical land, our islands, then these stories, because they're so connected to the physical environment, they'll be lost forever. So, yeah.
Is part of your collective and this fellowship that you're doing with Emerson to, I guess, create those connections with these custom stories in a new way? Will you, are you hoping to put them online, for instance, to hope that it reaches a new generation, reaches perhaps farther than it once did?
Yeah. So Custom Keepers, how I've sort of conceptualized it, it has three main activities. That's all sort of rooted from connecting people or connections. But the main activity is I want to be setting up these custom keeping hubs in villages and build the capacity and equip young people to be oral historians so that they record and collect their traditional knowledges. And then through a digital platform, which I'm still figuring out how it'll all work, but it sort of takes inspiration from IP models and publishing platforms. But through that, they can sort of upload and sort of preserve their traditional knowledges on the platform. Yeah.
Yes, I guess those copyright issues, those IP issues are very important when you think about, you know, using and trying to share Indigenous knowledge, isn't it?
Definitely. So I'm learning a lot and sort of redesigning as I go along because it's crucial that the ownership belongs to the people who own these stories or these knowledges.
And it's interesting, Millicent, because, you know, you're using art form, you know, in this case, it's storytelling. But I know you're a designer and you've often used your art as part of these political, social engagement sort of activities. You were part of, for instance, a Get Out the Vote campaign in Solomon Islands, I understand, where you sort of designed brochures and voter awareness guides. They were then distributed in bags of rice to people around the country. How important is art to you in social and political awareness? Do you think they go together, or is it something that you sometimes find difficult to sort of push together?
I think art, just as much as, you know, science and other fields of knowledge, I think they all play an important role. Yeah, for me, again, it all comes back down to connections, right? And everything we're doing, we're connecting with people, helping people connect to a system. So, like, at the end of the day, we must just sort of acknowledge and respect people connect differently to each other, and art as well as, you know, music. For us, that's been a longstanding way in which our people connect. So, yeah, as a tool, art stands to be incredibly powerful if people are taught to appreciate and learn from it the same way we are taught to do this with modern science. So, yeah, I definitely struggle sometimes to translate a lot of the political pledges and land laws. I struggle to translate them into art form. But what I believe and how my work works is the fundamental values of each sort of space. We share the same values. So once we are patient enough to understand what these values are, we're able to sort of weave them together to help people connect to it better.
Well, it seems that strategy is working, Millicent, with being accepted into this Emerson Collective. Must mark a big, yeah, success in your career. What's next for you? What do you have planned for the year that you're with the fellowship and beyond?
So, yeah, what's next is literally just getting to work now. As I mentioned, this opportunity with the Emerson Collective is huge support, just to springboard you know, the custom keepers work. So I'll be identifying 2 to 3 pilot areas for the custom keeping activities I have in mind, as well as just mapping out what's on ground and aligning custom keepers to that. But yeah, it's just getting down to work now.